Why couldn't Bach pay to have dinner with his friends?
I don't know why.
Because he was Baroque.
That was The Jam Van, from a soundtrack to a collection that we're going to learn a lot more about today on The Children's Hour. You're listening to The Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We're going to learn about composing with our intern and junior producer, Daniel, who has been looking into the lives of some of the most well-known classical composers. And he had a chance to interview a modern-day composer named Bill Sherman. Bill Sherman is well known as a composer, producer, orchestrator, and he's worked on Hamilton, In the Heights, Nature Cat, and Sesame Street, among others. And recently, he's been part of the music for the Jam Van series. He's a producer and musical director there, and it's a musical mini-series that teaches kids valuable life lessons. You'll hear more music from the Jam Van throughout the show, but before we get there, let's learn about the composer Bach from our junior producer and intern, Daniel Lentz.
In 1685, Johann Sebastian Bach was born into a family of musicians in the city of Eisenach, located in the region which would eventually become Germany. Bach lived during the Baroque era, which was an artistic period of time from 1600 to 1750, which is most well known for its well-decorated and fancy art, music, and buildings, many of which were inspired by Roman works. Bach was the youngest of his siblings and lived with his parents until the age of 10, after both his mother and father died of disease. He was taken in by his older brother, who was also a musician, and there Bach began to play the keyboard and study music by copying sheet music by hand. While Johann Sebastian Bach, allegedly, frequently missed school, his teachers believed that he held talent due to the amount of hard work he put into learning music. After college, Bach began working for the wealthy Duke of Weimar and worked his way up to leading the choir and playing the organ, his favorite instrument. While Bach worked very hard to improve and strengthen his musical talent, that did not mean he was the best worker. In fact, throughout his life, Bach often got into conflict with his employers and other musicians. An example of this occurred after Bach left his job for several months so he could walk across Germany to visit a prominent organist named Dietrich Buxtehude, who was a major inspiration for Bach and his work. During his time working for the Duke of Weimar, Bach began to find his own musical style before then moving to Cöthen to work as a musical director for the Prince Leopold. Leopold was also a musician, like Bach, and often gave him more artistic freedom than he had previously. It was during this time when Bach began composing many of his famous Baroque and classical songs that we know today. This is Bach's C major prelude, which is one of his most popular songs in the modern era. Bach stayed in Cöthen for 6 years, making music for the prince. Before Bach moved to Cöthen, he primarily created music for church and religious reasons due to his early work as a choir boy. However, during his time with Leopold, Bach's music was primarily secular or not based in religion, and because of this, Bach got more time to work on his instrumental compositions. Eventually, however, Bach did leave Cöthen and moved to Leipzig to work as a Thomas Cantor. A Thomas Cantor is the top musical director and composer for what was one of the biggest churches in Leipzig. And during this time, Bach had to produce music for 4 different churches at the same time. During his time as Thomas Cantor, Bach wrote over 300 cantatas, which are large pieces of music that are focused mostly on singing and are often around 20 to 30 minutes. That is a lot of music. However, cantatas were not the only thing Bach wrote during this time. He still loved to compose organ pieces, and he also wrote another one of his most famous musical works during this time, the Mass in B minor, which is a piece of music that is almost 2 hours long. Bach completed the Mass in B minor in 1749, and during the period, Bach's health began to deteriorate, and he began to go blind. In an attempt to prevent this, in 1750, Bach went to receive eye surgery. However, due to limited medical knowledge and techniques at the time, along with his doctor being very questionable in his status, the surgery went wrong, and Bach would pass away soon after. Bach is still remembered today as one of the best classical musicians, both due to the large amount of music he made in such a small time, and because he was willing to take risks during a time in which music was changing a lot. During the Renaissance and medieval periods, music was still missing a lot of the core concepts which make up the entire music landscape that we hear today, and Bach is one out of many people who helped to shape it. You may also notice that Bach died the same year in which the Baroque period ended. And 6 years later, one of the most famous composers of the classical era was born, Mozart. And we'll hear more about him later.
Hey guitar teacher, thanks for assigning this song. It's a swell melody, and it isn't very long. My dear mother prefers that it's not blues or rock. It is Johann Sebastian Bach. They say classical music's an old noble art, and if you listen to it, then it'll make you smart. With some other composers, I think that's a crock. Give me Johann Sebastian Bach.
Every single note
that the old master wrote
was as perfect could
perfect
be.
Perfect as could be.
In a fugue
or a mass,
no one else
could surpass
his divine sense of melody
and harmony.
If someone should insist that you make up a list of composers that you can recall,
it takes no PhD, it is easy to see.
Mr. Bach was the best of them all.
So guitar teacher, thanks for this musical treat. It's got great counterpoint, and I like the steady beat. It's a piece I will practice and play round the clock,
cause it's Johann Sebastian Bach.
Oh, when you're frowning instead of grinning, cause the plain affairs of living got you feeling all befuddled, frustrated, torn in two. Ask for advice from your neighbor, ask a dear friend, do a favor, help is right around the corner from you.
Help is right around the corner, help is right around the corner, help is right around the corner from you.
This girl I know from the Tidewater had a broken
housefly swatter, and her house was full of houseflies. Oh, what's a gal to do? She asked her father for assistance with some duct tape, helped her fix it. Thank you, Daddy-o. Now shoo, fly, shoo. Piedmont at an all-you-can-eat restaurant. He had busted through a button and his blue jeans torn in two. So he politely asked a patron who produced from her apron a needle and thread and sewed him up good ass new. Oh,
help is right around the corner. Help is right around the corner. Help is right around the corner. Right around the corner from you. Help is right around the corner. Up around the bend. Anywhere you're going, whether out, back, up, or all around the track.
If you need a little help, all you've got to do is ask.
That's the Old Crow Medicine Show with Right Around the Corner, coming off the brand new collection of music that came from the 2023 animated live-action hybrid musical series called The Jam Van. Before that, Beethoven's Wig was from Sing-Along Symphonies, and that was Hey Guitar Teacher sung to Bach's Bourré. Today's show is about composers, and it's been written and co-produced by our intern and junior producer, Daniel Lentz. You can find a learning guide to explore composers even more by listening to the podcast of this episode with elementary through middle school students. Our learning guides have activities and more, and they fill gaps in music education. You can find this one at childrenshour.org. Look for composers. We just learned about Johann Sebastian Bach, but composers are working today too, including our next guest, who was instrumental in bringing us the music in the musical series Jam Van.
Today on the show, we are talking to the music producer and composer for the Jam Van, Bill Sherman. He is an American musical composer, producer, arranger, and orchestrator, and has worked on projects such as Hamilton, In the Heights, and Sesame Street. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Bill.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited.
How did you get your start in the music industry? And how can others do the same?
When I was in fourth grade, I learned how to play the clarinet. When I got to sixth grade, my same music teacher said, you should play the saxophone. It's like the clarinet, just different. And I said, that seems cool. And so I got really enamored. I was really into the saxophone for a long time. And I went to college to study the saxophone. While I was at college, I played in a lot of bands, and I studied and researched a lot of music, West African music, Bali, and everything. I went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut, and they pride themselves on world music. So I did a lot of that, and at the same time, I met Lin-Manuel Miranda, who we all know very well, and he said, you should music direct. And at that time, I was like, I don't know what that is, but that sounds like a whole lot of fun. So I got into theater and music theater sort of stuff from there. I graduated from college, and at around that time, Lin and I started working on In the Heights. At the same time, I worked on this show called The Electric Company for Sesame Workshop, and then that sort of moved itself into Sesame Street, and I've been there forever. And then, I don't know, you know, things sort of happen and the world sort of occurs, and I've worked on some other musicals and some other TV shows along the way. What I would say to someone wanting to get involved in the music industry is, at least in the beginning, say yes to everything, because you never know who you're going to meet, right? For example, like me and Lin in college, I never would have agreed to work on a musical because I wasn't really into musicals, but I said yes and I tried it out and here I am, you know, 30 years later or something. And the other piece of advice I'd say is work on your talent as much as you can. And at some point, just be a nice person to hang around, because at least in my line of work, I'm always like in a studio or in a dark basement or something. And I find that if you want to work with me, you're going to have to be fun in a basement, right? And you have to be fun to hang out with, because I think that that's really important.
You are listed as a composer, songwriter, and producer. What are the differences between these roles?
So songwriter and composer, I'd say, are the same things. I think it depends on what the medium is, if it's like pop music or if it's a score for a film. The composer sort of writes the music, the melody, and what the lyrics are and sort of how the shape of the song is. A producer sort of takes that song and makes it into something bigger. And so sometimes, more often than not, those people are the same people where they write the song and they produce it. And sometimes they're totally different people. Sometimes there's people that only write lyrics and people that only write melodies or only write music. And so the producer's job is to take sort of all of those elements and combine them into one thing. That title producer also changes from thing to thing. So like in a movie, a producer is one thing. And in a TV show, a producer is another thing. In music, a producer is a totally separate thing. And so the way I look at it is like my job is to sort of oversee all musical things and make sure they sound like something. Whether it's asking this guy to write some lyrics or this guy to write some music, I take it all and I jumble it up and I try to make it into the best possible thing. Essentially, you're producing the final piece of music.
I think that a common image which pops up in people's heads when they hear the word composer is Mozart sitting by his bedside, writing sheet music while imagining the notes in his head. That cannot be the way that people make music in the modern era, is it?
I don't write music in bed and use a paper and pencil, although that's very funny visual. Most of the people in my line of work sort of either play the piano or the guitar. That's sort of their starting point, and they'll sit down at the piano or they'll sit down at the guitar and sort of strum out a few things and sort of evolve from there. In this day and age, I think a lot of people use the voice memo on their phones. I know I do. Where I get most of my writing done is driving, and I'll think of the song. If I know I have to write a song, I'll sort of put it together in my head. I'll sing it into my voice memo, and then I'll get home and I'll sort of sit down at the piano or sit down at a computer piano situation, take what I sang and sort of make some sense of it. Now, a lot of music is just composed on computers. I know that like at my fingertips, when I sit down at my computer, I have an entire orchestra or an entire rock band or an entire West African band, kind of whatever band I want. And I think the fun part is sort of when you have the ability to use all of those sounds and all of those things is how do you make them really into one cohesive thing? And how do you make it convincing so it really sounds like what you really want it to sound like?
I think that's a really good message to put out there, that there are so many different paths to take when making music. And speaking of messages, one of my favorite parts about the Jam Van is that each of the songs has a really strong message. Can you talk a little about how to create an effective message in your music? One that sticks out in your audience's mind.
With this, a lot of the shows that I work on, including Sesame Street and Nature Cat and Jam Van, it was very important that they have like an educational side to them as well. It was a lot of writing and a lot of trial and error. With Jam Van, it was sort of like, well, we have this amazing song by Sheryl Crow, and it's called Try, about like trying hard and really sort of persevering and getting to the end of your thing. And so like, we have to get to that song, then how are we going to get from Sheryl Crow meeting our characters to the end and sort of how that adventure or that particular thing worked. All great songs sort of have some motto or some sort of main point to them. And I think that sometimes in children's music, it's about learning. And sometimes it's just about love, or it's about hope, or it's about, you know, any of those sort of things. Sometimes the best songs are not meant to be about hope, but they are, you know. And like, you didn't mean to write a song about love, but you kind of did. You write a song about something completely different, and then it winds up being a song about love. I feel like those are sort of the fun things about music that you can't really teach, or you can't really whatever. You just got to try and learn.
That was a segment from my interview with Bill Sherman. And just like Bill said, you just got to try and learn. And this is Try by Sheryl Crow from the Jam Van.
I've been around folks that don't go out. All they do is sit inside. Staring at the phones, watching others doing stuff. Life is just passing you by. You know you'll never know when the flowers, they won't grow unless you let the light inside. Don't you know you gotta try? Don't give up, you gotta try. Don't make excuses, how or why.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is a production of the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization supported by listeners just like you. You can learn more about us at childrenshour.org. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Celebrate diverse cultural communities of New Mexico at nmculture.org. Hello, listeners. Katie Stone here, and we need your help. We want to know, what are you grateful for this year? Leave us a message at childrenshour.org/contact, and you can find our SpeakPipe voicemail, or you can just give us a call. That's 505-850-3751. Let us know what is making you feel thankful. We know what we're thankful for. It's you. Thank you.